in life. Brought to you by the makers of P&G soap, the white naphtha soap. Last night, you were sitting at the supper table having a good time, but all of a sudden you remembered that when supper was over, it was up to you to do that big pile of dishes. It sort of took the fun out of things, didn't it? So now, you know, if you mind dishwashing that much, I'll just bet you're using a lazy soap. The kind of soap that just lies down and lets you do all the work. When you want to clean up a pile of dishes in a hurry, want to get grease and caked on food off plates and pots and pans, you don't want a namby-pamby soap. What you need is a go-getting business-like soap. The kind millions of women just like you are using every day. A husky white cake of P&G. Yes, ma'am. This white naphtha soap P&G gets right after dishes from the word go. First of all, you get a mountain of suds, even in water hard as nails, because P&G helps soften water. What's more, these thick, creamy suds contain an active ingredient that helps cut grease. That's why grease slides right off plates, why pots and pans almost soak clean. Those P&G suds turn them out in clean, sparkling rows. And if you're thinking now, but how about my hands? I'll tell you. I'll tell you not what I think, but what P&G users think. Almost every day of our lives, we get letters from women that say, and the wonderful part of this soap is, it's so easy on my hands. So there you are. It's a white bar soap, as fine a bar laundry soap as you can buy. Quick sudsing, hard working, and as for economy, well, listen to this. P&G, the white naphtha soap, can save you up to half what it costs to wash your dishes with most flaked or granulated soap. Don't you agree that you ought to get some today and try it? Free to refrain from acting. And where we are able to say no, we are also able to say yes. And yet it seems strange that so many times what we will to do and what the fates decree are contrary one to the other. For 2 weeks, the president of the publishing company has exerted every ounce of willpower to prevent him from attempting to reach Rose Kransky. He has hoped that his former secretary would phone him as she did some time ago. Days have passed, and Charles has waited. And then, quite by chance, these two people met during the lunch hour. Neither, it seemed, had the determination to permit this meeting to be a casual one. An exchange of words, resulting in a dinner appointment between the secretary to Mr. Jack Felser and the president of the publishing company. Two people having dinner, while a grandmother and a baby waited. Two people having dinner. Suddenly, as though facing reality for the first time in an hour and a half, Rose looks at Charles and says,
"This is all very stupid, Charles."
"What is, Rose?"
"Our having dinner together."
"Stupid?"
"Yes. What's the matter with me? What's the matter with you? Why did you ask me to have dinner with you? Why did I accept your invitation? Those are questions that have gone through my mind the past few minutes."
"And you can't answer them satisfactorily?"
"Frankly, I can't."
"Are you being honest, Rose?"
"Well, I've always prided myself on being honest. I don't think that I know how to be dishonest, really."
"Then you... well, you must have answers to those questions. Rose, after our last meeting, I made up my mind that I wouldn't... that I couldn't phone you again."
"And you didn't?"
"No. I must admit, however, that... I kept on hoping that you'd phone me. That you'd tell me that you'd accepted my offer.
nothing.
And then this noon, having met on the street as we did, quite by chance. Well, here we are. Well, doesn't it seem to you that that chance meeting sort of... well, sort of threw a great many things to the four winds?
I don't believe that I quite follow you, Charles.
Don't you think it's been an effort to me to refrain from getting in touch with you? From denying myself the pleasure of seeing your baby? And Rose, if I know you at all, and I think perhaps I do, there must have been times during the past few weeks when you felt as though you wanted to talk with me.
I won't deny that.
And then today we met. And all the willpower that I had exerted over the past few weeks was gone. And all the willpower that you might have exerted since we last had dinner together, that was gone too. Rose, perhaps you believe that if we hadn't met as we did today, we wouldn't be here this evening. But next week, next month, we'd have met. And if we hadn't, we'd still feel a compelling desire to see each other again.
I don't think that that's quite true, Charles.
Don't you?
No. What's happened is my fault. Once, so long ago, or so it seems, I'd have blamed you. I'd have kept telling myself that you had no right to attempt to project yourself into my life, into mine and Johnny's.
You'd have every right to have thought that. You have every right to think that now.
For too long, I've given myself the privilege of blaming you for certain things. But you can't blame anyone for something which you as an individual can say yes to or no. Charles, when you first called at our home, it was up to me then and there to say, get out and stay out. And that would have been the end. Instead, many things prevented a clear-cut and definite decision. At least so I've been leading myself to believe. What harm could your seeing the baby do? I asked myself that. The baby seems to have played and is playing a great part in our present association. I kept telling myself that, too. Charles, your wife... well, you know and I know that when she finally was faced with the fact that life couldn't go on for her, her one desire was to see you and me and Johnny. Well, we both know what. You know, sometimes at night, I lie awake and think that her dying wish was almost foolish.
Rose. Rose, you can't mean that. Regardless of how little or how much you might have understood Helene's character.
Perhaps I am misjudging her. I don't want to, but this constant conflict and turmoil, it might never have been if it hadn't been for Helene. In wanting to direct your life, your happiness, in death as she did in life.
But aren't you being somewhat inconsistent?
Perhaps. But who isn't?
But you said just a moment ago that each of us can say yes or no.
That's true, Charles. But you know that Johnny and his future, he means a great deal to me. And knowing that, it was your first avenue of approach.
Then you don't think I've been sincere?
I didn't say that, Charles. There are certain things that we both know. Certain things that touch both of our lives. Perhaps always will. Until one of us is strong enough to say, this is the end, regardless. Unless I can forget Johnny. Unless you can forget Johnny. Where will this lead, Charles? Where can it lead?
I've tried to figure that out. I've tried to analyze my actions. Oh, believe me, Rose, I have tried.
I don't doubt that, Charles. But I haven't any answer just yet.
Well, perhaps you have an answer, but that you won't permit yourself to entertain.
Perhaps. But I rather doubt it. Do you have an answer?
Yes, I think I have. But I'd rather not express it at this time. Rose, for once in my life, I'm going to try to be fair to you and to your baby.
What do you mean by that?
Please, don't press me for an answer.
Please don't think that that's what I'm doing. Because regardless of what you may think the answer is, I have to find my own answer, Charles.
Who knows? We may both, unknown to each other, reach the same solution. President of the publishing company, entertaining the idea of a future relationship with his former secretary? Does he believe the answer to be marriage? A long time ago, when The Guiding Light first came on the air, it was with the idea of making life run a little smoother. If we sort of feel that to sponsor a program with that ideal, well, there couldn't be a finer product anywhere than P&G soap. Because P&G really does make life run smoothly on wash day. This fine white naphtha soap gets things snowy white. It contains an active dirt loosener, you see, that helps get out the most stubborn kind of dirt, making white shirts and linen sparkling white. Yet it turns colored washables out so bright and gay that they just dance along the clothesline. P&G makes the budget run smoothly, too. One Husky bar costs only a few pennies, and yet it'll do a 100-piece wash. Yes, sir, we're sort of proud of P&G, and we think you'll be proud of the clean, sweet washes P&G turns out for you. Won't you try it next wash day? An offer to return east. Be sure to listen tomorrow to The Guiding Light. This is your announcer, Fort Pearson, for P&G Soap, the white naphtha soap that gets clothes really white. National Broadcasting Company.